you said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. And so this afternoon, Father, we have a desire to connect with your heart. Come in, Father God, just show us where you are moving. Give us an opportunity to just see what is on your agenda. And Father, I pray that every heart being represented here this afternoon, Father God, will have the privilege of knowing you intimately, not just as, Father God, information, not just as, Father God, a figure of history, but, Father God, the one above all names, the one that is alive and wants a relationship with each one of us. Thank you for the privilege, Father God, of living only for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. It's a privilege to be here. Okay, so the children are unfortunately going. No, you guys must enjoy, hey? Okay. Werner, you're not supposed to join the kids, hey? you lie. There's sweets at the church there. Okay. No adults to the kiddies' church this afternoon. We know that there's sweets, but there's some nice eats afterwards. Guys, it's a privilege to be here. Really, it's always great to come to Europe, and I often go to the UK, but don't make this turn toward Utrecht or toward the Netherlands. And so this time I said I'll do that, and it's amazing to be with you guys and Derkan. You and Renee, I've got the greatest of respect of just the things that you've already done here, the faithfulness and the obedience that you've shown until now. I know that, you know, at your age, you should not do things like this. It's crazy. but you've done it because you're obedient, and God will bless you for that. I've got the greatest of respect for what you guys are doing. We normally plant with crazy people, but it's strange to get old crazy people. So it's really a privilege to see how passionately you are following the Lord. And I know that this church will multiply what it started off with. And that is really a passion for Christ. And I want to honor you today for that commitment. All of us are working at it to get there one day. Okay, we'll be speaking about a few principles. I want to share a few things with you this afternoon. I actually promised the UK church as well after the LDC, our leadership development course that we did in August there in the UK. I want to encourage you to next year join us in the UK when we do the camp in August. Really try to be there. It's a time when we just bring everyone together in the UK and in Europe, and there's even Canadians coming next year that's joining us. It's the church plant on that side. The guys will be joining us as well. So it's really a privilege to see what God is doing. And at the LDC, I've done a session, and I promise to come back and do the other session. So this afternoon will be about that session, and I trust that it will help you guys to actually get a few principles to grow with as well. So I want to start off with Isaiah 3 verse 10 to 11. And maybe before I read the scripture, I want to just say that we are not supposed to be leaders, but disciples of God. Okay. Are you with me this afternoon? Guys, you must you must respond. I love to see response from the audience. So I want to ask you guys, if that is true, if we are supposed to be disciples, it means that we've been called to duplicate that which Christ has done in our lives. So there's three things. The one is, you and I have been called to actually represent God here on earth. Represent. The second thing is, we've been called to reflect His glory. If you want to know what is your purpose in this life, it's to glorify the name above all names. And I want to say that to you today, because my question would then immediately be, are you glorifying Him in your workplace, in the community that you are living in? Can they see that the King of Kings are reflected in your life. And this is a challenge, and I'm challenging you as much as I'm doing it to myself. And you know, we've gone all around the borders of Utrecht with the cycle. That is how crazy these people are. And we've prayed for the whole of Utrecht, so I can say that now with authority. I've really, you know, joined you guys in the battle. So what I want to say to you is, when we talk about reflection of God and His glory, it's always, the Bible speaks of the greater and the lesser light. The fact that the moon is the lesser light and the sun is the greater light. So, which means that the sun reflects its uitstraling, rays. Okay, great. Okay, thanks so much. Toward the earth, which means that it can only reflect that which it receives. So, you and I have a responsibility to only reflect that which we receive. Now, if you know the King of the universe, if you know Jesus Christ, and if you have experienced Him in your life, there's no ways that you cannot reflect Him, because the glory of God will be all over you. I want to say to you, you know, you don't need to speak it. You don't need to say that. It's Karlin. Karlin, I was so encouraged again to hear what you're doing at your workplace. You know, it sounds like you are quite crazy for Jesus as well, and it's amazing. It's just a reflection. You don't even speak about Jesus at your work, but people can see the light of Jesus reflecting as you experience the King of Kings. And so you and I, in our quest, in our finding out what life is all about, should first of all get to this space. The place where you and I realize that, you know what, there's nothing that we can reflect. There's nothing that we can show to the world if Jesus is not reflecting Himself in us. So if you don't spend time with the King of all Kings, you will not be able to reflect anything. So my challenge to you today is, you know, Schaeffer speaks about a revolution that happens to society, and it's always a cycle. You'll see the French Revolution, you'll even see Independence Day in America, you'll go all over the world. And somewhere in society, the cycle always repeats itself. So society comes to a place where they are left to their own devices, they do everything that they think is right in their own eyes, and then they self-destruct. Because if humans are left to their own devices, they always destruct. And so society comes to a place where it gets to a place where people say, freedom. Have you heard that in the past before? Okay, some of you are too young for the movie Braveheart, so I don't expect you to understand. There's one person. Okay, Mel Gibson shouting, oh, Werner, I'm glad to see that you're not that young. So, you know, Mel Gibson shouting, freedom. So everyone is shouting freedom because you want to do the things that suit you. Is that not democracy as well? Okay, America has just, you know, gone through a election, a revolution. Can we? No, probably not a revolution, but it's close to a revolution. But the people has decided. But can I tell you that every person that voted in America voted for the sake of their own benefit? What would suit me? That is what democracy is all about. You and I coming to a place where we can decide upon what will be the best for me as an individual. And at the end, our combined vote would then choose Donald Trump. Okay, that's a difficult one to understand, but maybe that is of God. I am not today even saying that, you know, God cannot use Donald Trump, but what I am saying to you today, the principles that we live by is the fruit that will show in our lives. Because after every revolution, a bunch of men or women would have to go and sit down and decide how the new season will look like. And so they will formulate what society seems fit and what is the principles that society should live by for the next season. Are you with me? But can I tell you today that your freedom will cost somebody else their freedom? Okay, that's a difficult one. Because if every one of us just do whatever suits us, it means that it will take away somebody else's ability to choose to do whatever they want to do. Are you with me? Okay, so can we just talk about tolerance and about, you know, where society is at with democracy? And there's no such thing as every one of us are going to get what we want. And the world will self-destruct if every person will run to parliament and to try to sort out Donald Trump and get him to, you know, not be president. And I can tell you there's a few individual people that are now not happy because it's not suiting them. And it's not suiting their cause. And so Schaeffer speaks of the fact that you and I come to a place where we must realize that the principles that we live by is the fruit that we will receive in our societies. And that's why we even deserve the people that we that's leading over us. Can I just quickly read Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10 to 11? Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them. This is a difficult scripture. For they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him. This is difficult stuff. Listen to this one. Proverbs 14, 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways. And a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. John chapter 15, verse 8. And listen to this one. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now I want to talk about a few things because I want to end off today in hopefully bringing you to a place where you will realize what it means to really bear fruit in this life. And there's two kind of people that we get in this on this earth. The one is those who serve idols and those who serve God as their idol. The problem is that we are serving a very jealous God. A God that loves us so much that he created us to do something on this earth. And why are we not fearing this God? Because the thing that you fear in life is what you will become. Listen to this. The one you fear is the one that you will worship. Okay. The one that you fear is the one you worship. So why are we not experiencing God as the idol in our lives? Now, I first of all want to talk about holiness. And for us to get to holiness, and you know, I don't want to go into a teaching, you know, about sin and repenting of our sins. I think you guys have spoken a lot about it the last few weeks. But we all know that when we come to a place of purity before God, we are allowed to come into his presence and to experience him. But fearing God means that you and I come to a place where we reflect the glory of God, where we can see him for how glorious he really is. And I want to say to you, in heaven one day, we will worship him 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365. Luckily, there's people helping me this evening. All around, we will worship God, even the creatures with the lots of eyes. Did you read Revelations? Being around the throne of the King of all kings, they will shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I want to tell you the reason why I'm so excited about Jesus, because I've seen him. I've experienced his glory in my life. I've seen how many times he's been relevant to me, and I can reflect him because I know that he's for real, and I can worship him, and I can stand, you know, at the, what was it, the east? No, it was the west point. No, it was not even the west point. What was that point? Yeah, it was the west point. And lift my arms and just say, God, I want to glorify you because you are Lord of the city. And I want to say to you today, you know, when we find God to be the idol of our lives, we start to worship him for who he is. And therefore, God made us for a certain purpose here on earth. And if he created us, he knows what's best for us. Is that not true? So if I would take a pencil tonight and I want to drill a hole in this wall, what will happen to the pencil? Okay, there will not be a lot left. It means that if I use a pencil to drill holes in the wall, it will break. But if I use a pencil to write and to do art or whatever, you know, to do some drawings, it will be a wonderful tool in my hand. But if you're like me, always buying a new device without reading the instruction manual, you sometimes must even take it back within a month because you didn't use it the way that it should be used. Okay, am I the only sinner here in the house? I'm the plug-and-play kind of person, okay? I want to get that thing out of the box, and as soon as possible, it must just work, okay? We don't read the instruction manuals anymore these days, but can I tell you that if God created us in a certain way, each one of us individually formed us to do certain things here on earth, and I want to say to you, you are not here on earth to do good things, but to do God things. Which means that you and I will be accountable to God for the things, not that we've done, but the things that we've been asked to do. Okay, go and read that John Bevere book. It's an amazing one. Okay, driven by eternity. We have been called to do certain things on this earth. And while we are doing that, we will be experiencing the blessing of being a device for the right purpose and the right timing, fulfilling God's plan and having contentment in life. But unfortunately, most people are not reading the instruction manual and they are doing things that God has not called them to do. And then they go through the hardship and pain in life, and there's a lot of scars that goes with it. And I want to just say, and I'll get back to that later on, scars in our lives are either very painful and very hurtful to the extent where we cannot live anymore, or it becomes the greatest authority scars in our lives where we can move from glory to glory. The decision lies within us. And I just want to say to you today, within our lives, being created for a certain purpose, it means that we must get back to God's purpose for our lives. If you don't spend time with God from day to day, I can promise you, you will not know what he has made you to be. And that's why you get so many nominal religious Christians that go through the pain and hardship of life and they don't know what God has created them to do. And so it's actually even worse than being a sinner. Because at the end, it's a purposeless life. I want to live for what Christ has made me to be. I want to do exactly what he's called me to do. And therefore, I've got an expectation for him to operate in my life. Is it not so that when you and I go on missions, or, you know, we go and do those outreaches, going around the town. When you do those things, you always have an expectation for God to move and to speak to you. And God always pitches. But why is he not pitching every moment of the day? Why is he not pitching in our lives when we are at work and when we are busy doing our family life? Because we don't have an expectation for him to operate. Is God still there? God is everywhere. God did not leave us nor forsake us. And I can tell you, even the day when he made us, he has appointed, you know, angels concerning us, so that his presence, his Holy Spirit, will be with us, and that you and I can experience the presence of God every moment of our lives. I say that I cannot, you know, I cannot go without spending time with God in the morning. The reason for that is that when I go through a normal day, I always see the hand of God because God pre-warned me. God created an expectation to see his hand upon my life. But you know what happens? We go to the city, we miss that car with a few inches, then we say to one another, okay, this was a coincidence, or it was a lucky experience. I've missed that car. Whew, shoo. You know what? Was God in those circumstances? He was always in your circumstances. The problem is you didn't spend time with him to see his hand upon your life. Which means that if you've spent time this morning with God, and you would have said to God, God, please, reveal to me this day. And God speaks to you with his Holy Spirit and he says, just be aware, because there's an assignment against your life. The moment when that car misses you, you know the hand of God upon your life. You know what? God is always at work in our lives, but we don't see it. And therefore, we are not always the partakers of Christ in our lives, because we don't see his hand in our lives. And so I love to spend time with God, because he reveals not just his hand, but his heart to me. I want to say to you guys, in fulfilling this life and a calling upon your life and an understanding of what it means to live a life of fruit, you and I need to get back to the purpose that we've been made to live for. Adam and Eve decided to do the independent thing. And guess what? It cost them. And so I can tell you, we always rebel against the very same thing that God has called us to do out of the flesh. And we don't understand why hardship happens in our lives. And we don't choose God as the idol in our lives, because there's so many things, stuff that happens around us. And so Jesus would, in John 21, get his disciples again together. They'll sit around the fire. And so, you know, after Peter said to the rest, okay, Jesus is gone, let's just go back fishing, let's just go and do what we know best, Jesus challenged him. And he says to him, listen, Peter, can we have a conversation about what happened here? Can we have a discussion about the fact that you love me more than these? That you love me more than your fishing and the things that you do best in life? Because it's crutches in your life. It's securities that drives you away from me. Peter, can we just talk about the reason why I've called you? I've called you to be a fisher of men. But you've walked away from that just when I was out of your life. Get back to the purpose that I've called you to. And so I can tell you, what we normally do in this lifetime is we do whatever we know we can do best. We know that out of our own flesh, we are good at accounting, or what is the rest of the gift sets? Caretaking. What are you doing in this life? Amazing stuff. Okay, wonderful. But there's definitely giftings in your life that God wants to do to use. And I can promise you that so often we find these things as crutches that don't allow us to do the things that God has called us to. And so when we serve through this life and we, you know, want to get to our end destination, we are always troubled by making a choice in giving God a blank check in our lives. And so we serve other idols, other securities in our lives. So when we are not respected, and I want to talk about us fearing idols, not respected in our identity and the calling in our lives, we feel confused and it brings fear. And there's three things that I want to mention that brings us to away from the place where we can idolize God rather than stuff in our lives. The first one is accepted by the trend, not being out of step with society. We want to make sure that we are always keeping up with the Joneses. Okay, I was at East London the other day, and so the one guy said to me, you know, in the morning he's jogging past a neighborhood, and he says in the backyard of all the houses that he's passing, they all have the same, exactly the same trampolines. Okay, is it here the same? Okay. So the Jones also lives in the Netherlands. We have a desire to actually just go with the trend, to do things like society is doing it. And can I just tell you the trap of that? Because I am an Apple lover. Okay, iPhone, Apple. Okay, I see there's a few other guilty sinners here. And so I love reading the specs of these things. And then next time when it comes out, I want to have that thing. And the problem with that thing is that it's only satisfying for 1 week. Then I'm looking for the iPhone 8. Okay, some of you understand what I'm saying. Okay, because the specs, you know, on the other phone is just so much greater. And maybe for some of you it's cars, I don't know what, you know, stuff. The stuff of life. The things that we so often get to desire with all the, and we will, you know, even our budget will dictate this. You know, you will eat less for the next few months. You will do whatever is necessary, but this thing you must have because it's the best thing that can happen with you. Until a week after and you realize, okay, this is not so good after all. There's something greater. And I can tell you the tendency always is that you and I never get to satisfy the thirst in our lives with stuff and with keeping up with the trend, because those things cannot satisfy. It's only when we allow the contentment in Christ, the things that he's given us, and we are satisfied with those things because that is what he blesses us with, that we can find a place of true contentment. So there's a few things within this: accepting the trend, materialism, beauty, status. Some of us just rebel against everything that we see in life just so that we can stand out and look like somebody doing something amazing. The second thing is identity in my culture and family legacy. Some of us do whatever my culture or my family legacy dictates because I'm so afraid that I'm going to disappoint them. And then thirdly, instructors in our lives, parents, teachers, pastors, etc., that place certain expectations on us, and we rather fall for those than to follow Christ. Now, Matthew 19:16-22, "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not be a false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I've kept. I've done the basic requirements.'" And I must maybe just say here, do we all agree that this guy came to Jesus with an expectation to have more? Okay. Woo! Are you with me? This guy came to Jesus because he was not satisfied in fulfilling only the law. He had a desire to go so much further. And so he addressed Jesus and he said, "Jesus, but I've done all of those." And Jesus said to him, "Let's get to the most difficult part. Can we talk about what is the idol in your life?" young man came to me after a session like this years ago, and he said to me, "You know, Pastor, I love the bass guitar and I love the drums. And, you know, I've given my heart to the Lord, but the Lord must please not take this away from me. I'll serve him in the church. I'll serve him in the... But just please do not keep the drums and the bass guitar away from me." I said to him, "You know what God is going to take away from you first? There's certain things that became so important to us that we cannot give God a blank check. That if he tomorrow would ask us to go to the uttermost ends of the earth, if he asks us to pack up our things, and if he asks us to give away a car even to somebody that's in need, I've done that a few times in my life, not because I'm so amazing, but because I've seen the reward of being obedient. The challenge that you and I will always get back to is that he wants to be the idol in our lives. And we must make the choice to reposition ourselves for him to have that blank check so that he can write my life story for me. And I not do everything that I want to do. There's many things. I can promise you there's many things that I've given up in serving the Lord and serving his kingdom. But the blessing of it is that there's so many things that through the years came automatically that I didn't even ask God for, but God knew the desires of my heart. But it was in due season. And so in partnering with God, in coming onto his page, means that you and I come to a place where we allow God to do his agenda in our lives. And so that brings me to a place of talking about just wholeness. And I can tell you, some of us gets broken to the extent that you cannot bear with pain and you pick up scars that inhibits your growth. And it's like a battery and a car. You know, if the cables are not working from the battery to the car and it's, you know, it broke or it's bended, the power source cannot flow through. And so you and I, through the scars in our lives and the brokenness in our lives, came to a place where we are broken people that needs to be restored in front of God so that he can again fulfill his life's calling upon our lives. But you know what? We don't want to address those things. We don't want to go back to those things. And I want to say tonight to you, time does not heal. Time does not heal. It's the choice to change that brings healing. If you and I go to God and we allow him to start to work in our lives, and we are willing to in humility come before him and say, "God, listen, this is so painful. I don't want to go there." God allows us to pinpoint those things and work at it so that he can bring healing in our lives and he can become so amazingly strong in our lives again. And so some of us must take a few steps back. And I want to say to you, there's a pendulum happening in every person's life. And that pendulum is running from the one side to the other. The one is, and this is the way some people respond to life and the issues of life, is total control, where they become so arrogant that they think they've got the solution to every problem in this life. Who are you with me? Those are the people that comes into a room and they are just always in control. You know, you just hear about them. They make you understand that they have handles on life and you should just get out of their way. And then there's the other side of the pendulum in response to life. And that is the one of self-pity. And that place of self-pity is the one where you are just never good enough. You just always feel like a failure and you feel like there's no thing that you've done in this life that is actually successful. And the devil plays between these two parts of the pendulum always in our lives, to the extent that we are thrown into the understanding that the same issue is at hand, because the bottom part of this pendulum stays self. Okay, are you with me? Do you know that both these symptoms are of the same source? The person being in self-pity and the person in arrogance have the same problem, and that is that self is in control. And as soon as we get to the point where we can understand that we need to find our contentment in Christ, we need to find our contentment within Him being the source of our lives, and we actually don't have anything to prove to this life, but to live according to His godliness in our lives, we find contentment. And so I want to say to you today, stop thinking that you can survive, because you cannot. I cannot fulfill life. I need Jesus Christ desperately, because I'm a total failure without Him. And as soon as you come to that humility and that understanding, because can I just say something? And I'm going to read a few sentences now that I want you to follow with me about this thing. But do you know that the one side, the one of arrogance, leads to homicide? Because if you can control people's lives enough, you will even kill them to fulfill your purpose. Do you know that the other side of the pendulum, the one of self-pity, leads to suicide? And that's why we in society have so many people going through suicide and killing other people, because people are left to their own devices. Now I want to say to you, there's two things that normally amplifies these things in our lives. And that is money and relationships. Because if we have enough money, we can pay our way in life. We can decide what we have and how many people we can manipulate and use and abuse to fulfill our life's calling. Relationships. If we can control people enough and we can have enough of an influence and power over them, we feel like we are controlling life. Ooh, okay. Are you still with me? This is deep stuff, but I need you to see the essence of this message today. Because many of us are living in the flesh, and I can tell you the flesh will always end up in the same fruit. Okay, I'm going to read it first. The selfishness and control manifest through a pendulum. Self-pity through fear and rejection. Focus on our own ability. Shame, guilt. Self-pity leads to passivity because of being rejected. Always defending and justifying. Even to suicide. We spoke about it now. Rebellion, the other side, the one of arrogance and rebellion, leads to rejecting those who reject you. Rebellion or arrogance that focus on own ability leads to pride. Rebellion against authority opens a door to the devil to mislead us. Homicide wants to get rid of people that bring hurt in our lives. Okay, if I can just get rid of all the people that hurt me and that is in my way to fulfill what I want to do. Okay, this is, guys, this sounds like out there, but this is the flesh in all of us. It just depends which one you feed the most, because that's the one that will become stronger. Either the spirit or the flesh. There's an established value system that kicks in when the flesh is being tested. Both roots are of self. Both leads to isolation, loneliness, and bitterness and frustration. The flesh usually get tested by the level of preoccupation with control, and two common magnifiers are money and relationships. We've said that. So, in our reactions to this, I want to say to many of us, project our issues. We project the very same thing that we don't get right into other people's lives. I've got this one elder in Franschhoek that came to me once. He said his kids, he's now, I think, almost 70, Johnny Bell, you all know him. So Johnny said to me, you know what? My kids once brought me around the table, me and my wife, and we sat down, and so we had this conversation about me and my wife and the things that we've done wrong through the years, and the kids were just gunning at us, and you know, and I soon realized that the things that they complained about me was the things that I always was blaming my wife about. Okay, there's not married people here. Are you guys married? You're married? Divorced? But then you will actually know what I'm talking about. There's two married people. There's two. Okay, but they're still in honeymoon. That doesn't count. The things that we always say about our partner is the thing that things that's only actually wrong in our own lives. Is it not so? Okay. Am I missing it? Okay. You guys don't count. Don't worry. We complain about things in other people's lives that's actually wrong in our own lives. Go and test it next time that you find something wrong in somebody else's life. It actually freaks you out. And I promise you, I've done it in my own life. I've seen so many times the things that's irritating me about other people is the stuff that I must sort out in my own life. And so projection happens in our lives, and also excuses. You know, the fact that we are always blame shifting. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. Okay? And society has brought us to a place where we never find fault in ourselves. Okay? Just try to keep a member of church accountable. I promise you, I've seen it through the years. I'm now 16 years in the ministry, and I've seen it every year just becoming worse. People don't want to be accountable to anyone in their lives because it's much easier to say, listen, but do you have the right to speak into my life? You know, I'm in the Google society. If there's anything wrong, I'll go to Google, but just relax. Leave me alone. That's a society that we've created for ourselves. A place where no accountability because we don't want to admit that there's stuff that we need to work at. Self-destruct. And so society is where it's at this stage because it cannot admit that it needs to grow beyond the point of immaturity. And so Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I want to say to you, humility is a willingness to be known for who you are. Humility allows one to take an honest look at your shortfall against the truth of God. Through the cursing of our identity, Satan hopes to, and I want to just mention these things, distort or replace entirely your image of who God has called you to be, drive you out of your place of habitation, the place of protection which is yours, your family, marriage, church, employment, home, city, country, and steal your inheritance. That which God has meant to be an inheritance or heritage to you, your children, finances, ministry, relationships. So I want to just mention two things that, you know, was actually created in our lives to be a blessing to us and a protection for us to experience life in abundance, a place of safety. The first one is actually to have the knowledge of God in our lives. As I said, certain principles leads to certain results. And we all know Isaiah 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed of a lack of knowledge. The second thing is, so if we just live by the principles, and Jesus actually says this to the young man. Listen, can you just get back to the instruction manual? Because if you do so, I've actually created these principles because I know if I'm your creator, I know what's best for you. I know that if you live by these principles, you will actually live by the blessing of what life can offer. You'll be safe. And then the second thing, the instructors in our lives. So the enemy brings us to a place where the people that speaks into our lives, the pastor, even the teacher at school, curse us so much that we never get to a place where we can actually fulfill our calling. Because it's not fathers and family life and true fathers with a desire to see sons become greater than themselves to bring protection to people's life's callings. And we must trust God to return that to the church. And I am so passionate about this. I know that Jesus is going to bring us back to the place where we can really experience fathers and sons in a spiritual sense in the church, where we duplicate who we are, not what we know, okay, but who you are. So Malachi 4 verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so I'm ending off tonight by saying to you guys, in order to get to wholeness, we go many times through the wilderness. Now I want to end off by just mentioning a few things, because some of you might be sitting here tonight and you are going through the wilderness. Testing will come to strip you from your calling. Your identity lies within God, not your calling. People get so fixated and, you know, excited about the amazing callings and, woo, you know, God has called me to be this amazing, almost like Superman these days. And, you know, you get so many books in the Christian bookshops these days about me and how amazing I am. And, woo, you know, I'm just so close to become an angel myself. And I'm so fed up with this, because I'm telling you, the church is failing people to come back to the understanding that we're nothing. Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because it's within my weakness that I understand that God becomes stronger. I'm actually nothing without Christ. And so I want to tell you, you know, why are we going through testing in this life? Is it because God is malicious? Is it because God has a desire to, you know, to sort us out today, and, you know, that we must go through difficult circumstances because you get a kick out of it? Have you thought about it? Why do we go through testing? Because all of us must come to a place where we get to the realization of how much we glorify the King of all kings. How much do we reflect the true colors of the King of all kings? If we don't go through testing, we'll never know. Can I just say that tonight? I know of suffering freaks in the kingdom that always think that the more you suffer, the more spiritual and the more amazing Christian you are. If you can tell your story about how you are suffering and going through this suffering for Christ, and you are laying down your life and every day is just a suffering. And then I listen to the story and I think, oh God, I'm missing something. Because the God that I'm serving is actually an amazing God that wants the best for me. But you know what? Testing expose our character. Which means that you and I come to a realization of where we fall short. And so I can tell you, go and read Romans 5 again, you know, just about the steps toward joy. There's a few steps that you and I must go through in order to receive joy in this life. James 1 talks about perseverance and going through hardship. And so I want to say to you, hardship does not make you to grow. It's the choice to change that leads to growth. Are you with me? Okay, guys, you must get this one. It's an important one. I always say to Christians, when you are in a storm, if you are at war, if you are in the middle of battle, never make choices. Wait until the war is over. Then after the war, you make the right choices through a lot of prayer and waiting upon God to show you the way ahead. Why am I saying that? Because I can promise you that in the midst of your war, it's better to lie in the trenches and wait until the war is over before you equip yourself for the next battle. Are you with me? Because guys, if you have a pistol in your hand and you try to sort out a tank, when you are at war, Guess who's going to come second? Okay, there's only girls in this house. You are going to come second, believe me. Okay, you must trust me now. But there's no ways that in the midst of a battle, you can change your pistol to be something of significance, rather than to just lie in the trenches until the war is over. Then after the war, you go back to the drawing board and you go and ask God to equip you with what is necessary to overcome. A bazooka. Yay, one girl that's focused, yeah. Are you still with me, guys? Because I promise you that many Christians are falling short in the midst of battle because they don't see what the battle is about. The battle is to expose us. So if I must admit that, God, I'm falling short, it's the humble acceptance of, God, I need to grow more. But God, I'm going to, after the war, make sure that I'm not going to blame other people. I'm not going to even project the things that's wrong in my life. I'm going to work at the things that I'm doing wrong so that I can become an amazing steward of this life. Not because I must become greater. Okay, and this is an important one. If the Christians in church will just understand that God did not expect us to grow so that you will become great, but so that you can reflect His glory to people around you. Because I must grow so that other people can grow around me. Me and my wife, we've got a motto in our house. People must become greater than we, or the people that we serve must become greater than we will ever be. Because that is the calling God wants for each one of us. If we want to be fathers, some of us must first become sons. And first go to a father, a spiritual father, and learn the things that's necessary. There's so many immature people in the church today. I'm telling you, loose cannons that's just shooting everywhere and killing Christians around themselves. If people will just understand that God wants us to be in the midst of a safe relationship with leadership in the church, and yes, they're not perfect, and I want to say to you, this couple is not perfect, okay? I've only seen amazing stuff, so I cannot actually say anything wrong. But I'm sure that there's some flaws in your lives. But God has called you to impart certain things that this congregation needs. And I want to say to you guys as a responsibility that God is going to keep you accountable for the growth in these people's lives. And so you as a congregant, pray for them, because it's a great responsibility. Paul says, watch over them, because you are the caretaker of their souls. And so I want to say to you, make sure that you never make it difficult for them to rule over you, because God wants you to be a blessing to them and keep their arms up so that they can reflect the glory of God better. Don't expose them for the weaknesses that they have, and so for any other leader that's in this church. I don't know who's all the leaders. Make sure that you raise their arms so that they look better, so that Jesus looks better to the world. But you know what happens in church? We expose every leader. We make sure that everyone knows how bad they are and what they're doing wrong and what is the issues in their lives. And we miss the point altogether. Because it's not about us. It's not even about that leader. It's about the reflection of God through our lives. And He can only become more if we become less. And so, you know what? Matthew 25:21 says, His master said to Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I have set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Can you just quickly stand? Because I want to pray over you guys tonight. I want to just say that, guys, we're not fooling around. We're not, you know, having church because it's a good idea. Dad can actually don't need a job. He's got a nice job in Cape Town. He came here on that salary to come and live here in Utrecht, because he's dedicated and obedient to what God has called him to. And you know the beauty of it is, each one of us must make those decisions. We must come to a realization that we must be in the perfect will of God. Otherwise, we miss out on life. But you know what? And I want to say that as an ending tonight. My wife, you know, was my girlfriend at varsity. And I remember, you know, in South Africa, we've got two towns close to one another, Wellington and Stellenbosch. And it's about a half an hour, 40 minutes drive, Achterperlepad, you guys will know. So it's about a half an hour, 40 minutes drive from one another. And my wife studied at the one campus as a teacher. I studied at the university. And I remember at that stage, I was also, or it was actually just after my studies, I was doing my internship. And I would work at the church until 10 o'clock at night. And then I would leave to go to her in Wellington for 40 minutes drive. And then her hostel that she stayed in was only open until 11 o'clock. Okay, if you're making sums now, that means that there's 15 minutes that we saw one another. 15 minutes. And I had a little Nissan Bucky. I don't know if you guys have it here, but it's a small little, you know, like a pickup truck. But no, it's a smaller. It's much smaller than a pickup truck. It's very small. Little vehicle. And I would drive through, you know, it's one of those things that you need. It doesn't have aircon. You need the automatic aircon. Okay, yeah, in Europe, you guys haven't had automatic aircons for a while, so you might not know, but it's elbow grease that you need to use. So I would drive this little bucky all the way, and then for 15 minutes we will spend time together, and it was awesome time. You know, it was always worth it because I love this woman with, and I still love her, with all my heart, okay? Can I tell you, driving there, I was never in love with the road or the scenery. I never got excited about the Nissan Bucky. It was always about the end destination. So many of us are excited about the Christian walk for the scenery and even the signage along the road. And the principles, and the Christian principles, you get excited because it's convenient. But you forget that this journey is not about the road, it's about the end destination. Because if you are in love with the most beautiful woman on the other side, you would just want to see her for 15 minutes, because there's nothing else that you would do at any night, but to be with her. And so my encouragement tonight to you is, guys, it's time to get back to Jesus. We are serving Christ for all the wrong reasons. We are serving Him because it's convenient, because it brings us even in a community like this. And it's amazing. You know, Jesus is even fine with it. But until we get to the reason of giving our idols over and say, Jesus, I want you as the Lord of my life, we will never be able to be successful in life. I want to say to you, you cannot determine success in life if you don't know the one who determines the success. Because beauty lies within the eye of the beholder. The one who decides how success looks is the one that you will follow. And if Jesus is the one, you must follow Him, because you will never get to be successful in life if you don't find contentment in Him. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I thank You for the privilege of knowing You with all my heart. I love You, Jesus. I know that there's nothing else that I want to live for. I want to be in your perfect will. I want to, Father God, make a choice tonight again in saying that we will go to the uttermost ends. We will do whatever is necessary. Me and my family, we will serve you. We don't want to be out of that place. Oh God, and we know that that is a difficult place to be at. I know that it's sometimes costing us so dearly. But oh God, there's nothing else that we want to do. And I come before you tonight in the name of Jesus, and I pray for every precious person standing in this place. I pray that tonight, Father, your conviction will be all over us, and you will allow us to make some choices in this life to follow you wholeheartedly. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will take us from strength to strength in falling in love with you even more. Some of us, Father, I know, needs to be restored in certain areas of our lives. We are so broken that we are not experiencing the energy source, you as the focus, the idol in our lives anymore. I pray that you will come and bring healing. I pray, Father God, that we will be able to lay down that pain so it will become the scars of authority that, Father God, will help us to overcome life. I pray now in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will bring each one of us to the conviction of a full and amazing relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.